It is a joy, I would say a great joy, that we can meet once again in peace. And so I greet all of you. Take it as individually greeting you in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I bid you all a very warm welcome to the house of the Lord, which is a house of prayer and a house of instruction. And that's what we are here for this morning, to think about a woman's wonderful intervention in history. Yes, please find a seat, dear friends. And once again, I want to appeal to those who are not shy. Not shy to sit in the front, yeah. The moment you come, there'll be 50 seats released from the rest. So bear this in mind, and I keep appealing, and I'm waiting for some response. Where are the brave people? 25 on each side means 50. So please bear that in mind before I go on to preach. You may be wondering what happened with our appearing before the judge this last week. Well, we did. The main part of the appearance was sitting and doing nothing. It was 4 hours of waiting. I spent about 1 hour with the judge, listening to him, speaking with him. And the outcome is next meeting will be January the 5th. So it is a game of patience and prayer. Did you pray? Some rang up and said, "We are praying for you." I was so encouraged. So I said, "Dear friends, there's nothing much to report because there is nothing to report. So you keep on praying. And when we have good news, we shall have a very special meeting of thanksgiving, where we come together and just sing the songs of Zion and share the news of our Lord's kingdom and together be encouraged." So that's all I can tell you today. You're disappointed, of course. But never mind, be patient. It's more important things. Today we want to consider a woman. A woman who has gone down in history as one who did a wonderful work of intervention. It is real life drama. You know what it is? Today you see it on television, I suppose. I don't watch it, but I think there's a lot of real life drama. In this case, one that was charged with emotion and potential violence, which was averted because of this wonderful woman. Who is she? We are very interested in knowing all this. Now, this action took place in a pastoral setting, meaning to say it is in a rural community of shepherds and farmers. And there are three chief characters involved. Number one is possibly the central character is a man called Nabal. Nabal, we are told right there in this chapter, is a fool. Poor man, whose father called him a fool. And he wears that name all the rest of his life. Nabal. Sozai. Mandarin Sakwa. How come the whole life he's called a fool? Second character was David, beloved. A man after God's own heart. And the third is Abigail. The name of it is Father's Joy. I would say father's delight. When she was born, the parents says, "Lovely child, let's call her father's delight." So here are the three characters. Now please turn to the Word of God, and then we will read parts of it because time is running on. You know, it's almost 11:45, and what time is left? 1 Samuel chapter 25, I hope that the study of these Old Testament scriptures has aroused in you a new understanding and appetite for God's word in the Old Testament. There are so many people who say, Old Testament so old, so boring. We only read New Testament. I say, how wrong you are. For in God's word, there's neither new nor old, but all good and precious. So 1 Samuel chapter 25 is where our action begins. This drama talks about quick decisions and instant action. And as we go into the story, and I'll try to be as brief as possible, as I said, seeing the time, you've got to be very attentive, because some of the events here will touch your life, and there will be pointed questions which will apply to three groups of people here. Three groups. The first group is the men. All you who are men, fathers and potential fathers and heads of families, you've got to answer a question as we go through. Number two, wives and potential wives, women. For to each, a certain question will be posed, will arise out of the story that we are going to read. And you've got to answer a certain question. And thirdly, young men. There are two groups of young men here. And this applies to all in NS. NS boys, reservists, and everyone who considers himself young. There will be questions set to you. So three groups. So let us be very attentive. All the men, all the women, all the young men. 1 Samuel chapter 25, verse 2. There was a man in Maon whose possessions were in Carmel. Now, to give you a very quick idea of where we are talking, what are the places we are talking about, if you imagine the map of Holy Land, and that is the coastline, and here's the Dead Sea. Now Jerusalem is on the top, and Mount Carmel is about 25 miles south of Jerusalem here. And it is the most famous mountain, of course, where Elijah confronted the 400 priests of Baal. And just south of it, at the foothills, and in the plain, is the plain of Maon. Right now you know where you are. There was a man, a very great man, very rich man. He had, I'm on verse 2, 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats, and he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Shearing sheep is an annual event, usually at the end of winter, when the sheep have gone through the cold season, being protected by their wool. End of the time you face spring and coming hot season of summer. That is the time you shear and reap the wool from the sheep. And that wool is very precious. Shearing time is also a festival time, as you will read shortly. And during that time, there is abundance of foodstuffs and things that satisfy your lifestyle. Shearing time. Now you get the idea of what we are talking about. Verse 3. Now the name of the man was Nabal, fool. Name of his wife Abigail, father's delight. She was a woman of good understanding and of a beautiful countenance, but the man was churlish. What do you mean by churlish? This is an old English term. He is a useless, good-for-nothing fellow, a selfish, ill-bred. You know what is ill-bred? Never have parents to teach him things of importance in life. So he was a selfish, self-important, and miserly person, a hateful person, easily offended. Continue to read in his doings. He was of the house of Caleb, and he shames the name of Caleb, the great famous hero of Israel. Verse 4. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal sheared his sheep. Wow, that's good. The news came along, this is the shearing season. Now, how long does it take to shear 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats? Goats, not much. They don't have much hair. 3,000 sheep. It is a season of shearing. And during that time, the news spread around. Oh, that farm with 3,000 sheep, they are shearing sheep. And it is a time of abundance. Read on. Verse 5. David sent out 10 young men. Now you and as boys, wake up. David said unto the young men, go to Carmel, to Nabal, greet him in my name. Why in my name? Oh, my friends. My father used to teach when we were little child. Not to know money doesn't kill. But not to know names can kill you. You must know name. You must know who is who. The name of David is a national household word. Everybody knows David, don't you? Every child in Sunday school knows David killed the Goliath, the giant, right? He was a national hero. He saved the whole country. And subsequently, God put his spirit on him, anointed him to be king, to be the next king, because the reigning king, Saul, was a reject. God did not want him, but, you know, God is so gracious. Even though he is a reject, he was allowed to continue. So here there are two kings. One is incumbent, one is designate, coming on, King David. So David says to the young man, go to this man in my name. Tell him, we have a deed. Now let's see. Say to him, verse 6, who lives in prosperity, three greetings of peace, three times. How wonderful. Peace be to you. Peace be to your house. Peace be to all that you have. Here is a greeting from the king to be, and he greets you with wonderful peace. Verse 7, now I have heard your shearers, now your shepherds were with us. Today you're shearing your sheep. Please remember, we have been the custodians and protectors of your sheep for all the past months. Read on. Your shepherds were with us. We heard them not. Neither was there aught missing unto them. All the while they were in Carmel. How come? How come you can have a shearing season now? Remember, you were with us. We are an outlaw group. Understand? Not in a bad sense. Outlaw. Because Saul was hunting David out of vile jealousy and envy and spite and hatred. He was hunting David. David gathered 600 soldiers of all kinds, and they were on the run in the wilderness away from Saul and his army, who were all the time watching for him. So, while they were in Carmel, they came into association with Nabal and his 3,000 sheep. Verse 8. Ask your young men, NS men, listen carefully. They will show you wherever you let your young men find favor in your eyes. We come in a good day. I pray thee. Now listen carefully. This is not an extortion bid that you may find in Chinatown in some places here. Especially in some rural places, some outback places. People come and say, look, we protect you by not attacking you. You pay protection money every month so much. It is nothing of that kind. What did David want from them? Listen carefully. Verse 8, let my young man find favor in your eyes. This is a plea. Gentlemen to gentlemen, look, we have done you so great favors, we need not tell you. You know it. How come you can shear your sheep today? It's because we've been specially kind to you. We come in a good day. Now comes the request. Please follow. Give, I pray thee, whatsoever cometh to thine hand. Whatever you can have to spare. We know it's shearing time. It's the time of great abundance and celebration. It's a time of great feasting. It's the similar to end of the Puasa month. You go to any Malay home, when they book up Puasa, there is a lot of food to eat. My driver every year comes at the end of Puasa with a lot of food for us. How come? It is, as it were, shearing time. They're happy. They're grateful. To them, Allah has been so good to them. For one whole month, they've been repenting, confessing their sins. As it were. This is what they're supposed to do, you know. Why do they fast for 1 month? To examine themselves and confess their sins. End of the time, wow, God is so good. Let us celebrate. Let us visit each other, share our good things with each other. This is the same spirit of the shearing time. So David knows full well, this man is so rich. Who has got 3,000 sheep, 1,000 goats? Is that you have 10 Mercedes cars and 4 bungalows? Surely you're a very rich person, aren't you? And here comes the man who says, we have been protecting you, being your friend, your real companions in the desert, and we've done so much good for you. Would you please give us some of your good things? This is it, the spirit. And the last part of verse 8, we come to your hand, unto thy servants, and to thy son David. Alright, will you give these some of your good things to your son David? David was a young man. We can imagine Nabal is probably advanced. Maybe in his 60s, we do not know. But for a man to have accumulated 4,000 animals in his farm is quite something. It must have taken time. So, the age difference, the plea is, please have compassion on your son, David. Treat him as a son. If the son asks the father, please, father, give me an egg, will the father give him a scorpion or a stone? No. So this is the begging and pleading with this great man, who is a great fool, by the way. Yes. Will you please treat David as a son? Give him some good things. Now come. Verse 10 comes the answer. Nabal answered David's servants and said, who is David? Who is the son of Jesse? There be many servants now in days who break away every man from his master. Now this is a very rude and very contemptuous as well as a very dishonest answer. I may tell you that. Why dishonest? Number one, who is David? Answer to this is, who doesn't know David? The whole country knows we have been saved by this man David, who killed Goliath and put the Philistines to flight, and who is continually watching over us and fighting the Philistines wherever they roam the country and come marauding and coming here and there. There is David. And for this man Nabal to say, who is David? Pretending. Who is the son of Jesse? Many servants nowadays desert their masters like you. Like who? David. He is contemptuous as well as insulting to compare David to those who desert their masters, meaning to say, serves you right. You desert your master. If he had stayed on, you would have plenty to eat in the headquarters. Now you're in the desert because you deserted your master. And there are many of them around here that come begging. You are one of them, but we have nothing for you. So he says, verse 11, shall I then take my bread, my water, my flesh, which is for my shearers, my workers, and give it to you, whom I know not where you are from, telling lies upon lies upon lies and insults and insolent behavior? Is very bad. That's why his name is called a fool. So, now come the reaction. We have done with the first character, Nabal. See, what a performance for such a man who has made so much, made good and so rich and yet so foolish. Now comes David. David said to his men when he had heard all this. Verse 13, please follow. Put on every man his sword. And they put on every man his sword. And David put on his sword. And they went up after David, 400 men, leaving 200 to watch over the family and the stuff. My dear friends, pause here and think, who had made this decision? Answer, the man after God's own heart. Can it be? It doesn't sound real, you know. It doesn't sound right. How could David suddenly say, take up your swords. We are going on a mission. Mission of death and slaughter. As very soon he'll pronounce the death sentence on all that belongs to Nabal today, before this night. All that belong to him will be finished. And we have 400 swords. We are going to finish them. Can such a man do such a thing? What a wonderful man of God. David, man after God's own heart. The man beloved of God. Could he have made that kind of decision on the spot, impulsively, said, we will go and we will deal with this silly fellow. You know, when we studied the life of Elijah, remember what James in his epistles said about Elijah. Elijah was a man subject to what? Like passions as we are. One day he is on the mountain of Carmel. The next day he is running, fleeing for his life from one woman, Jezebel, and he ran. What happened? Just as Elijah fell to his own fear and panic because he did not look at the Lord, he looked at a woman called Jezebel, and he took fright because of this woman's threat, and he ran. Similarly, David, in a moment of weakness, fell to his own carnal desire and pride. Let me tell you this, why he took that decision. Because his pride was badly hurt that day. How can this man say he doesn't know me? And he insults me and says, oh, you're one of the deserters and now you come begging for food? How can I give it to you? David was hurt. And at that moment, when your pride is hurt, many, many people do very foolish things because simply their pride is hurt. Yes, and we face a lawsuit in similar circumstances. When pride is hurt, people go to the limits to repair their hurt pride. Here is David. Yes. We will go and settle it today for this man saying all these hurtful things about me and my father and my own reputation. We will settle him today. It's not like David, is it? No, dear friends. This is not the man after God's own heart. But let us understand, we all are flesh. All of us are made of Adam's seed. We cannot run away from it. There are moments when we are up, there are moments when we are down. And I say, except you seek the Lord, confide in the Lord, walk with the Lord, and pray to Him, we will all fall. David fell that day very badly. Now let's see. But God was in charge that day. Please understand. I want to impress on you this. The Lord was in charge. The Lord sent one of the men of Nabal's group who watched and witnessed all this. And this young man says, my, I must do something because the way my master has insulted the 10 men of David, something is going to happen. Something disaster. He smelled it. He foresaw it. And what did he do? Today, as I said, is the day for us to understand quick decisions and swift action. Two things. Quick decisions and swift action. Meaning to say, you've got to live with the Lord, walk with the Lord, and consult with the Lord. Pray to Him so that He will give you the wisdom to make quick decisions and to take swift action. For except there were those who were under the influence of God's Spirit to take quick action, quick decision and swift action, that day would have ended in the greatest disgrace and disaster in record. Verse 14. One of the young men, who's Nabal's young men, he sends the danger and he took the quick decision, I must go and tell my mistress, the master's wife. And he acted. Supposing he never did anything and said, well, it's too bad, and he just goes to sleep. The thing, the whole course of events would have changed, would not have been what we are reading now. But this man says, there is danger, I must tell the mistress. What did he say? Behold, verse 14, David sent messengers to our master, and he railed on them, he insulted them, he abused them. Verse 15. But the men were very good to us. Now this is the testimony. Out of the mouth of one of the young men of Nabal's workers. The men, meaning to say, David's men, were very good to us. We were not hurt. Neither missed we anything as long as we were together with them when we were in the fields. They were a wall unto us. Wall of protection. With them around, you need not worry because they are like your guardians and your security guards everywhere. How wonderful a testimony. All the while we were with them, keeping the sheep. Verse 17, now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, Mistress Abigail. Now we've told you, what will you do? Again, I want to impress on you, what decision will you do? You must decide very quickly because something is going to happen very soon. And then, how will you take action? It's no use to say, oh, okay, let's hold a committee meeting tomorrow. There will be no committee there. You must act. Decide quick, act quick. Verse 17. Now therefore know and consider what thou wilt do, for evil is determined against our master, and against all his household, for he is such a son of Belial that a man cannot speak to him. Who is he? Mistress, that's your husband, Nabal. He has offended those young men. We know there will be repercussions, I'm telling you now. Now, what do you do? I say, God gives full marks to the young men. If these young men from Nabal's camp had not quickly run home to tell mistress, there would have been a great disaster. True? He saw danger. He quickly decided. He quickly acted. And I want to say this again to all of us here, men, wives, women, young people. Pray for wisdom that God will enable you, will provoke you to see and to size up every situation. And when it calls for quick decision, you must have that wisdom from God to make the right decision. And having made that decision, pray that you will be brave enough to act with courage. May not be easy. Great battles are won not by lying on beds of ease and comfort and say, I lie there and enjoy TV, and great things will be accomplished, nothing. You got to pray for wisdom, decide, then act. Time is the essence. Now, what happened? Thank God, this lady, and again I speak to all you ladies, pray that God will give you the wisdom to make the decision and then to act on it. No use if Abigail says, that sounds right, that sounds good. I mean, call my relatives and we all have a family meeting and discuss. Now, my dear friends, when you know what should be done, pray for wisdom and pray for action. And take action, because this is an emergency, more urgent than the tsunami, for example. You got to act. Thank God Abigail acted. Look at verse 18. Abigail made haste. Now, for all the food that she prepared is amazing. 200 loaves, 200 bottles of wine, 2 bottles of wine, 5 sheep, 5 measures of corn, and 100 clusters of raisins, 200 cakes of figs, and put them on asses. And she, verse 19, said to her servants, go on, quickly, behold, I come after you. Sense the urgency. Yes, no use to say, go slowly, go tomorrow, go tonight. No, you know there is danger. It's like a house on fire. You must act quickly. Act. And she did not tell husband Nabal. This is one time, dear wives here, you don't have to go and consult your husband if he's a fool, you know. When you come and take the marriage vow, you say, I promise to obey. You say, okay, I promise to obey. I better go and ask him, Nabal, can I send 200 loaves to these people? You don't do that. Please understand, God should give you wisdom. And that wisdom comes from God. Yes. When He gives you that wisdom, decide, act, don't waste time. So, wonderful. See this woman called Abigail. With urgency, you workers, go on. With the answers, I follow you. And she did not waste time to say, I'm going to consult Master Nabal first. No, you don't, because he's a fool. He's a wicked man. Verse 20, it was so. As she rode on the ass, she came down by the covert of the hill, and behold, already David and his men were on the way. 400 men with David in the lead. And she met them. Verse 21, now David had said, surely in vain I have kept all this that this fellow hath in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that pertained to him, and he hath requited, that is, he has given me, returned me evil for good. Verse 22. So and more also do God. This is a misuse of the name of God here, my dear friends. Yes, David misused the name of God in this verse. Verse 22. So and more so do God unto the enemies of David, if I leave of all that pertain to Nabal by the morning light, any that pisseth against the wall. In other words, there is going to be a slaughter. No man will be kept alive. And that goes without saying that others, women included, will be killed. Verse 23. Now comes Abigail. Abigail saw David. She hasted, lighted off the ass, fell down before David, and bowed herself to the ground and fell at his feet and said, all the fault is mine. Let me take on all my husband's sins that he has offended you through the 10 young men. Let it be mine. Have mercy on me. My dear friends, good act must be backed by correct diplomacy. This is diplomacy of the best and most wonderful godly sort. If you're going to make peace and go there and salawa and stand before David and say, look, I'm here. What are you? What do you want? There will be trouble again. But she falls down before him, acknowledges, I'm just the one who is responsible for this because he's my husband. And due to a one flesh, what the husband does wrong, the wife takes a blame also, poor wives. So, here she is. She admits, acknowledges. Verse 25. Let not my Lord, I pray thee, regard this man of Belial, even Nabal, for as his name is, he's a fool. For that is his name, and folly is with him. But I, thine handmaid, saw not the young man of my Lord whom thou didst send. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, seeing the Lord hath withholden thee from coming to shed blood. How does he know? She is already speaking as an event already done. Here is the David with all swords drawn, and here she is. She says, thank God, God has stopped you. So that stopped the whole thing. She spoke with godly confidence that God has sent me here to prevent you from doing a great disaster, a great calamity that will never be cleansed from the history of King David. Verse 27, now this blessing which thine handmaid had brought unto my Lord, let it even be given. Look at these asses, look at all the loaves, look at all the food, look at all the drinks I brought them. Please accept them as a peace offering. Proverbs says, a gift in time appeases all the wrath of an angry man. Bring a gift. When you are going to make peace, bring a gift. Verse 28, I pray thee, forgive the trespass of thine handmaid, for the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord fighteth the battles of the Lord God, and evil hath not been found in thee all thy days. So let not today be a day of evil for you. The Lord has sent me to prevent you from doing a great evil. These words are godly words. How did she know how to say those words? Answer, the Spirit of God on you. I say, dear friends, we have overrun the time. I'm sorry, but this story is so instructive, so precious, so valuable. So, we will not read the rest. This woman, by her timely action, diffused an explosive situation. And David and his men all kept their swords, and there was no massacre that day. What happened? The end of the story is, shearing time, as I said, is festival time. Buka Puasa. Right? Everybody is feasting. Nabal, leading the men in feasting, got drunk, dead drunk. He just went on drinking, and that night he was fret out when Abigail went home. Husband is dead drunk. What to do? Nothing to tell him. Until next morning, when he woke up, Abigail then told him. And by that time, when he heard the news, he became like a dead man. He had a stroke from God, and he died in 10 days' time. The long and short of the story is this, dear friends, men, right decisions, quick action is so important. But don't make decisions in a hurry like David did. When your pride is hurt, go back to your room and go on your knees and say, Lord, my pride is badly hurt. Teach me what to do. Don't make hasty decisions. Women, when you see and sense danger, ask the Lord for wisdom. Make a right decision and take swift action as Abigail. God help us, that we will all learn a good lesson from a wonderful, wonderful woman called Abigail. Amen. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for today's lesson, that through one woman's intervention, A great victory was won that day in the name of the Lord. And thou didst spare David from a serious and grave offense to thee. Help us that we will learn daily from thy word. And may the Holy Spirit be our wisdom. Lead thy people and bless everyone who has absorbed and received this story. In Jesus' holy name, Amen.